Blog Talk Radio.
Chiamo Afurakanu Afuraikaitnut Neye Eguada Medinde Ojirafo Kwesi Ra Nehempata Akan Akwamumai Namanuka Sivimu Ojirafo. That means greetings to all Afurakani Afuraikaitni, meaning Africans, black people. Today is Eguada Marketplace Day. My name is Ojirafo Kwesi Ra Nehempata Akan, Ojirafo of the Akwamu Nation in North America. Yet I say we thank you for tuning in again to the show. This, of course, is our third show of the week. We have three shows on a weekly basis now. We have Akanfo Nanason, Ancient Authentic Akan Ancestral Religion, on Joada on Mondays, 9 p.m. Eastern. We have Ojira Purification, which we deal with ancestral religion and specific topics and clearing up specific things dealing with cosmology. That's on Benada or Abenada, Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, and then, of course, today, Awukuda, Akwada, Wednesday, and we have Egua Marketplace, Eguada Marketplace Day, where we typically, where we talk about business, entrepreneurship, products and services that are being rendered by our people in the Afurakani, Afuraikaitni community. Often we have guests on the show talking about their businesses, their products, services that they share with the community, provide to the community, and also those individuals who have and share our ancestral values at the same time. We will have a guest next week. This week, we're going to go into some information, as it says on the moniker, Ejuma Ne Nanason, work, including entrepreneurship and ancestral religion. So we're going to get into that. The chat room is open for those who would like to comment or have a question. You can, well, first you have to log in, of course, into the chat room in order to comment or interact in the chat room. For those who are on the phone line, of course, if you have a question or you want to make a comment, just hit the number one so your hand can be raised so we can see you. And, of course, this will be a question and answer session show as well, in addition to the information that we share. So let's check it out. Let's first, one document or publication that we're going to look at briefly is a specific section in the Oberima Afurakani Manhood book. One of our books that we publish, I'll put the link in the chat room for those who are in the chat room. For those who are not, it is odirafo.com, O-D-W-I-R-A-F as in free, O.com/Oberima, O-B-A-R-I-M-A.html, and that's one of our publications, Oberima Afurakani Manhood. We're going to read from a section from there and go into some information regarding that particular section dealing with Ejuma. Okay, and so for individuals who are just joining in, we made the announcements about the shows. We have three shows on a weekly basis now. At 9 p.m. Eastern, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Ajoada, Benada, Awukuda. We also have another announcement with regard to our next presentation, which is coming up September 13th, which is Memenida, Saturday, September 13th. We will be back in Philadelphia doing a presentation on Nanason Afurakani, Afuraikaitni's ancestral religion as it relates to us in America, in the Western Hemisphere, how we have inherited our ancestral religious practices via direct blood transmission from our direct ancestresses and ancestors, and how we can restore our ancestral religious practices that span thousands of years because we carry that within our krane moja, our soul and blood, and we're going to get into that information in detail. Memenida, Saturday, September 13th, Philadelphia, 1 p.m. The event flyer is posted on the website as well as in our Facebook group, Akanpo Nanasom group on the page, and also on our Ning group, apuraka-apuraikayat.ning.com. That's our social network. For those who are unaware, you can join that network and you can interact. We have forums, people post videos, discussions, blogs, images, of course, and you get a chance to interact with other individuals. There are hundreds of people on that social network from not only in this country but various countries around the world where our people are. So that's a good way to interact with individuals and even possibly connect with individuals who may be in your area that you didn't know in your area studying this kind of information, this various publications that we put forward, and just Apurakani, Apurakani, ancestral religion, culture, and nation building in general from the authentic perspective. Okay, so I just want to check to see, make sure there's no need to send out any messages. I think I saw one message real quick. I want to check that out. Okay, so in the meantime, just download the Oberima Apurakani Manhood book, that link, and we're going to get into that. And the page that we're going to start off on, okay, we're going to go to page 13. And it so happens that this information is in this section of the book, so we want to get into that. This is one of our 10 soft cover publications. For those who are unaware, we have 15 books that we have published, over 60 articles, 48 videos. Most of the videos are videos wherein we examine information in our publications and give additional information as well. Most of those 48 videos are about 2 hours on average. We also have, now we have 31 shows, Ojida from Blog Talk Archives, 31 shows. That includes the various Ojida episodes, Egua episodes, as well as the most recent edition of the archives of the Akanpo Nanasom. So we have about 31 of those archives. Most of those shows are between 2 and 3 hours, so it's a great deal of information we have on the website. All that information, including the e-book versions of the books, the 15 books, and the 60 articles, are all free downloads from our website. Out of the 15 books that we have, 10 of them we have, not only all of them are e-books, but then 10 of them we also have in soft cover, available in soft cover, which we print in-house, in color, on our own printers. So and we do sell those, and those range between $8 and $11. So we have one for $8, 3 of them are $9, 5 of them are $10, and one of them is $11. So what we've been doing for the past 3 days, and today is the last day for this, by the end of today's show, we're raising funds for the free book giveaway. When we do a presentation in whatever city we go to, we give away a free copy of one of our books to everybody who attends the presentation. We do not charge attendance fees for presentations. Our presentations are always free. In addition to that, we always give away a free copy of one of our soft cover books to everyone who attends. We've been doing that for the past year. We've given away over 350 books, and we want to keep that program going, that initiative going. And the only reason we are able to do that is through support from the community. So for those who the option we have that we've been having for the past 3 days, special, those who order 5 books. So, for example, we have 10 books. They range from $8 to $11. Sometimes people will order the entire set, all 10, which is like $96. Some people will order 3. Some people order 1 or 5 or 4 or 6 or whatever. If you order 5 and just go to the website like normal, go to the Nhoma page, the publications page on ojidafo.com, pick out 5 of the books you want. If you order 5, we will actually send you all 10 for the price of the 5 that you order. So you pick out any 5, and order them just as normal. So say if you ordered, you know, Afuraka, Afurakai, the origin of the term Africa, and Maranechi, divine law and divine hate, Fukutuntun, the ancestral jurisdiction, Oberima, Afurakani manhood, Uben Shang, the ancestral summons, and maybe Anidaho awareness. You order those five. You may place the order. Once we receive the order, instead of just sending you those five, we will send you all 10 for the same price. So basically, you're getting 50% off. That will assist us in getting the information out to our people, and those soft cover books will be once in your possession. Typically, people will share them with the community, you share them with your coworkers, family, friends, other individuals. So the information gets to people that typically or normally we would not be able to reach. At the same time, it assists us in with ordering the ink, the supplies, the color ink, and everything else to produce the quantity of free publications that we will be distributing at the event, and also to build up the supplies of the other nine books that we will have available for purchase at the event. So all of the books will be, we plan to have all of the books available for purchase at the event, all 10 books, but one of them we will give away for free to everybody who attends. So we're having this special discount. Basically, it's 50% off anyone who orders by tonight, because it was yesterday, today, I'm sorry, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Joda, Benada, and Awukuda. We've been having this little special. Tonight's show is the last show for this week, and our next show will be next Joda on Monday. So anybody who orders five books will give you all 10 for the price of five. So just go to our website or hit us up in the email. If you have any questions, of course, you can hit us up on the chat right now or call in or just email us and for details on that. And we appreciate those who have we've had some people make those orders. We're sending those books out, so we appreciate that support. And let's get into Oberima. So first, Ejuma in Akan means work. And Nanasom, of course, means Afurakani, Afuraikaitni, ancestral religion or African ancestral religion. So, and for those who are unaware, we have a book, Afuraka, Afuraikait, the origin of the term Africa, where we prove that Afuraka is the origin of the term, and we dismiss and disqualify all of the misinformation, false etymologies associated with the term Africa when Europeans attempt to say it comes from white languages, which of course it does not. So we prove conclusively, and we are the first and only to prove conclusively, and show in the Medutu, in the hieroglyphics, where the term actually comes from, and the actual cosmology that gave birth to the term in our ancestral religion. So we have that book, and so we use the term, of course, Afuraka, Afuraikai, meaning Africa, and Afurakani people, Afuraikai people, meaning male and female African people, and so forth. So in our language, Ejuma means work. Nanasom means Afurakani, Afurakaitni, or African ancestral religion, which is, in essence, the ritual incorporation of divine law and the ritual restoration of divine balance. So through ritual, we incorporate those things, objects, deeds, and entities, or entities that we need in order to harmonize our thoughts, intentions, and actions with divine order. And through ritual, we restore balance to our lives when imbalance has occurred. So that's the essence of Nanasom, which is just a general term for Afurakani, Afurakaitni, ancestral religion, no matter what expression it manifests through, whether it's the ancient culture, our parent culture of ancient Kanat, Nubia, Kemet, and so forth, or their expressions through the Yoruba, Akan, Ewe, Vodun, and so forth, as well as Kudu and Juju and Voodoo in America, Obia in Jamaica, and Candomblé in South America, and Lukumi in Cuba, and everything, all the various places where we practice tradition, Winti in South America, the various traditions. Ancestral religion manifests, and Nanasom is just a catch-all term dealing with ancestral religion. So we want to talk about how ancestral religion is related to Ejuma, the work, the way we, the kind of endeavors that we engage in, the fields of endeavor that we embrace and we do our work our quote-unquote life's work or our life focus, where we're focused at, what function we execute in the world, how is that related to ancestral religion? And that includes entrepreneurship as well. So that's what we wanted to get into. And then, of course, you can start putting your questions in the chat room. And, of course, you can hit the number one if you have a question on the phone on this subject matter, or if you have questions on other subjects as well that we have covered, you can ask questions about that as well. Tonight is going to be a come on or conversation question and answer as well. We haven't had a question and answer, specific question and answer session in a number of months, actually. I think it's been over 6 months the last time we did it on Ustream. And of course, people can call in at any time on any show, but every now and then we'll have a show where it's just specifically nothing but question and answer. So we can do that tonight as well. Okay, go to page 13 in the Obedima book. And first, the Obedima Afurakani Manhood book. It is dealing with seven principal values that define an Obedima or an Afurakani man. Seven sections based on those seven principal values. Those seven principal values, as we say, stream from the divine and ancestral forces that make up an Afurakani man. So these the same seven abosom, the divinities that govern the 7 days of the week, the solar, lunar, and planetary bodies that govern the seven-day week that, of course, the Akan use and other groups use, those forces in nature that govern, animate the sun, animate the moon, animate the various planets that govern the 7 days. They also carry a certain kind of energy, and each principle, value, or teaching is associated with that kind of energy that governs that particular day, that governs the planet, that also governs an aspect of not only our physiology but our spiritual anatomy. So there's a configuration of principle values that when we adhere to them, we harmonize our thoughts, intentions, and actions with order as men, and the same thing as women. And we've talked about this before, but we will have a publication complementing the Obedima Afurakani Manhood book, the Obatai Afurakani Womanhood book. We've been talking about that for a while. We're going to get a chance. When we get a chance to get that information out, we will release that information. So that's the basis of the book, and there are seven different sections. So we're going to go to the second section, because it's directly related to the topic, and that begins on page 13. So we talk about the seven principal values. At first, just to look at the first principal value is order. And as an Afurakani man, you recognize the divine order of creation, the balance of male and female. That's your first principal value. Once you recognize the divine balance of male and female, great father and the great mother, Amen, Amene, as we call them in ancient Kanat, Nubian, ancient Kemet, Nyame, Nyamewa in the Akan tradition, Lisa and Mawu in Vodun, Holotiolo, Hatieleo in the Senufo tradition, all the traditions all across the continent. Wherever our people are, we recognize there's a great father and a great mother. There's not just a great father, God. There's not just a great mother, goddess. There's always been the balance in reality. For people who actually attune themselves and communicate with Amen and Amenet, that's an experiential reality. Of course, we have a number of Negroes who embrace the nonsense of the whites and their offspring who would try to teach that there was only a God or that there was only a goddess. And, of course, that's misinformation. So based on not experience, but following along with the whites and their offspring or other blacks who have followed the misinformation of the whites and their offspring. So, but when you get down to not only textual evidence, but also experiential knowledge, then you can attune to Amen and Amenet, and you know who's who. And, of course, all of our people have the capacity to attune in that fashion. So recognizing divine order of creation, the balance of male and female, order is the first principal value of Obedima. And we go into detail about that, showing how when you recognize that balance, you see that balance throughout every facet of existence. the balance of the father and the mother, the balance of expansion and contraction, work and rest, in-breath, out-breath, consumption, elimination, in a harmonious fashion, dealing with diet. Every aspect of your life is governed by that divine balance of male and female. Where you balance your emotions, where you balance your energy, where you balance your time and so forth, we need to establish balance. We have to recognize first, though, that order of creation, the divine balance of male and female. If you don't recognize that, then the way you operate in the world will be imbalanced. If you have a male-dominant mindset and you don't see any balance there, then the way you operate in the world, with the way you express yourself intellectually, emotionally, through work, through physical endeavors, through building institutions, it will reflect that imbalanced mind state. And in the same fashion, if a female has an imbalanced mind state as well, whether it's imbalanced matriarchy, just like a male can have imbalanced patriarchy and so forth, or if they have the reverse. Either way, if there's an imbalanced mind, then it's going to reflect itself in the way you deal with yourself physically, spiritually, and the kinds of institutions that you support, develop, and propagate. So first you have to recognize the actual order of creation, divine balance of male and female, recognize that in various facets of existence, and then you can move forward to begin to incorporate things in a harmonious and balanced fashion. So that's the first principle of value, but we're going to get to, and we have a whole chapter on that, which talk about Amen and Amenet and various aspects of that balance. But then the next piece is where we want to get to, page 13, second principle value of Obedima directs us to, which is balance. So the first principle value is order. The second principle value is balance. After you've recognized the divine order of creation, which is the balance of male and female, and recognize that now and embraced it, the second piece is balance. Establish that balance in every aspect of your existence. So first you recognize the order. Order is the first principle value. What is the order, the divine balance of male and female? You need to be able to perceive that, apprehend that, embrace that in every aspect, facet of creation. Once you can perceive it, recognize it, and internalize it as reality, that order, now the second principle value is balance. Establish that balance, which is the divine balance of male and female, in every aspect of your existence. It's not enough just to know about it and to be able to repeat it and say, oh, yeah, there was Amen, Amenet. You need to be able to establish it in every aspect of your existence so you can balance yourself and remove imbalances within yourself. So we'll just read this first couple of paragraphs so you can see. An Apurakani Obedima, meaning an African man, recognizes that he does not exist as an individual separate from other created entities. We put created in italics because we're talking about plant life, animal life, mineral life, and Apurakani, Apurakaitni, or African human life. We're created entities. The whites in Arrow Spring are non-Africans, non-Apurakanu, non-Apurakaitnu, are not created entities. They come into being through degeneration and perversion. So they're not part of the created, divinely created entities or authentic humanity. So, again, the Apurakani Obedima, a man, recognizes that he does not exist as an individual separate from other created entities. You are part of a system, a whole, just as every cell within your body was created and designed to execute a specific function in your body, for the different cells are part of a whole system, you. When the cells function in harmony with their divine design, the body is healthy. When the cells malfunction, the other cells are made to suffer. When you as an Apurakani male function according to the way you are designed, those connected to you will benefit as well. Those Apurakani males who malfunction in the society bring suffering to their families, friends, and other Apurakandu, Apurakaitnu, meaning Africans or black people. Once you have internalized the reality that there's male and female balance in creation and that this is the divine order of creation, which was the first principle value, you then seek and work continuously to establish that balance within yourself. You work to continuously establish that balance within yourself. Physically, you make sure that you put the right things in your system with regard to diet for your health and well-being, and you make sure that you eliminate waste and toxins from your system on a regular basis within a natural cycle. You make sure that you strengthen yourself through exercise and rejuvenate yourself through sleep. You make sure that you engage in ejuma work in order to benefit yourself and those connected to you, and you also make sure that you engage in rest, recreation. Too much water will drown you. Not enough water will leave you dehydrated. Too much food will lead to obesity, disease. Not enough food will lead to malnourishment. Overworking can lead to stress. Not working manifests laziness, disorder, and deterioration of the spirit mind. The Akan say, Ejuma ye, meaning work is good. And Apurakani Oberima, man is never unemployed. This is because in Apurakani, Oberima understands that he is by nature productive. He recognizes the reality that he must always be self-employed, an entrepreneur in some capacity, whether or not he is also employed by someone else. This is crucial for Apurakani, Apurakai Newt, living behind enemy lines. To neglect self-employment is to reject independent. Apurakani Merima, being Apurakani men, do not embrace the foolish notion of being dependent on the whites and their offspring. Your heart works continuously. If your heart became, quote-unquote, unemployed, that would be the end of your existence in the physical realm. Your heart does not overwork itself nor underperform, for either state will lead to disease. None of the extremes listed reflect in Apurakani Oberima or Apurakani man. It is the balance which reflects our true nature. Spiritually, you must recognize that what you ingest affects your thoughts and behavior in the same manner that what you physically ingest affects the behavior of the organs and organ systems in your body. Establishing the balance of male and female in your spirit centers on your ability to balance the fiery emotions and the watery emotions and the various temperaments in between. So, we went through that section because we want to address the piece dealing with Ejuma Ye, which means Akan Ebe, or proverb, wisdom teaching, which teaches Ejuma, work, Ye, is good. That means work in and of itself. Engaging in work is a good thing. If you want to reject work, that's laziness. We talked about a deterioration of the spirit, deterioration of the mind. We talked about the heart being never unemployed. So it's natural for us to engage in activities that are considered work, entrepreneurial, and so forth, but that goes back, not like enslavement and being forced to slave for other people, but we're talking about something that if you do sankofa, return, go, and grasp, it goes back to your specific function in creation. If you look at, we address this in our text, the okra-okra complex, the soul of Akanfo. We're talking about the nature of the soul, the okra, the okrawa, and we talk about the various definitions of the term kra or ka, same as ancient Kemet, ka, ka as the soul. Of course, it means that divinity that dwells in the head region, your divine consciousness, encoded within that divinity, that force that dwells in the head region that's always pulling you in the right direction. Encoded within that is the specific function you came to execute in the world and the energy complex you're given to execute that function. One of the definitions of Ka, therefore, is message. In Kra, message, it also means to take leave, but it also means labor, work, toil. So Ka and Kaet, or Nkra and Krabea, it means labor, work, and toil. And it shows the medut, or the determinative medut, or hieroglyph shows a man carrying a vessel upon his head. Now, of course, the vessel is related to the region or the space or the place, the sacred space of the ka. The vessel on the head is pointing to the fact that the ka dwells in the head region. And he's carrying that vessel, which is like a shrine for the ka, upon his head or upon her head. So it's pointing to that, but it's also showing it's carrying something, carrying a vessel. That's work. The term ka meaning labor or toil, but it's not labor or toil as it's translated in English, but what is your function? What are you to execute? That is your quote-unquote work or your life's work, your divine function. Of course, we use the term function when we translate nkra and nkrabi as the male and female aspects of your divine function. Very often in when people are translating those terms in English, they'll just say your destiny or your divine destiny. But because you listen to the term destiny and there are many false associations, you know, ascribed to that term, it's more properly defined not as your divine destiny per se or your allotted destiny, but in the proper definition, your allotted function. What were you designed by Inyamewa and Inyame, Amenet and Amen, to execute in the world? As a cell within the great divine body of Inyamewa, Inyame, the supreme being, you're designed and formed and created to execute a specific function in the body, just like every cell is designed to execute a specific function in your physical body. You're a cell in the great divine body. You're a child of one of the organs, which are the divinities, and they have specific functions, just like every organ in your body has a function. So that function is your nkra, nkrabea, ka, or kaet, the quote-unquote labor or toil, your work, your ejuma, what you are to do. And this is why we say in the real sense, ejuma ye, meaning ejuma or work ye, is good. Because the term good, the concept good, is the same word as order, meaning divine order. Good and order are the same concept. So when you engage in proper ejuma or proper work, then that means you're engaged in order. You're harmonizing your thoughts, intentions, and actions with that which is good, which is divine order. So this is the connection between that. So you, even before you get into the womb and you're a spirit going before Inyamewa, Inyame, and infused with a specific function to execute, and then your spirit is sent into the womb. Now, when you're born into the world, you have a charge, you have a function, you have a specific kind of ejuma or work to do. And because you're children, you're a child of certain divinities, forces in creation, you may be the child of a fiery divinity or divinity of hot metals like Benna, Abina, specifically Benna, or you may be a divinity associated with agriculture or medicine or, you know, plant life, medicine dealing with plant life in the forest and so forth, then you'll be naturally inclined to execute that function, carry that kind of energy into the world, into the Apurakani, Apurakaitni human sphere, to bring that kind of energy there. But as you grow, as you develop, you'll also be naturally inclined, when you pay attention, towards specific kinds of occupations where you can fulfill that function. So if you're naturally a child of a divinity connected to the Earth Mother, then you'll be naturally inclined towards that kind of agricultural function, reproduction, dealing with the soil in a harmonious, organic fashion, and dealing with that. If you're naturally connected to a divinity of hot metal like Benna, then you may be naturally drawn to engage metals in the form of metallurgy, and you'll be engaged in some form of metallurgy. If you're connected to a divinity of healing, then you'll be connected to healing. You're naturally drawn to plant life, mineral life, drawn to those areas, learning how to procure plant life at a certain time of the year, a certain time of the day, mixing that medicine and creating products that will actually heal disease, cure disease, and so forth. You'll be naturally inclined there. And then you will develop an entrepreneurial endeavor that allows you to express your divine function that was given to you by the Supreme Being before you even got into the womb. So this is the association of ancestral religion, that divine function, with ejuma, with work in the real sense. Let's pull up, let me see if we can pull up that section in the Accra book. The link is the Accra page. In fact, if you just go to the NHOMA page on the website, NHOMA.html or NHOMA, NHOMA. So if you go to OG.fo.com and you scroll through the introduction, you'll see the NHOMA or publications link. It's a big golden disc, which is actually a symbol for a shield for the Kra that's worn in our Khan tradition. If you go to that page, you'll see all of the books, and you can go to the Accra Complex book, The Soul of Our Akanfo. When you click on that one, it'll take you to the page for the book. It'll describe the book, but then when you scroll down, you'll also see the image. And when you click on that, you can download the free ebook version. We're going to go to that. What, by the way, when you go there, you'll see there are two copies for this particular publication. And also, when you check later on the Madanechi, Divine Law and Divine Hate, you'll see that there are two copies on those two pages. We have, because of the great work of one of the members of the forum, they translated the Accra Complex, The Soul of Akanfo, into French. So now we have the French version as well as the English version. And the same is true of the Madanechi, Divine Law and Divine Hate. We have the French version, the French translation, and the English translation. Eventually, we will have all of the books translated into French as well as Spanish, Portuguese, because some of our people, of course, in Latin America, in the Caribbean, in various countries on the continent who were colonized by the French or colonized by the English and so forth, some of our people, they speak their traditional language, but then they also speak Spanish or French or Portuguese, and some of them don't speak English. So we've had individuals who are from those areas that say, well, do you have any French translations or Spanish translations, because the people I'm around, I speak English, but I don't speak it very well, and even Dutch as well. Some people from Suriname and so forth, which are large Akan populations in Suriname. They have Maroons in Suriname who wage war against the whites in their offspring during enslavement and freeze themselves, and still have Maroon communities where they still speak dialects of the Akan language even after these hundreds of years in South America and Suriname. So same is true in Guyana. But they'll say, well, I speak English a little bit, but I don't speak it very well, and it would be much easier for us. And many of the people I know, they only speak French. Some of them speak their traditional language. Some don't even speak the traditional language. They only speak French. It's like many of us only speak English and haven't relearned our traditional languages yet. So they'll say that, you know, the videos or the books, they can't access or learn from them because they don't understand English. So, and the same is whether it's French, Spanish, Portuguese, Dutch, or whatever, we're going to have books translated in these different languages, eventually all of the books. And then eventually, of course, in some of our traditional languages, tree, the Akan language, as well as others as well. So you'll see on this particular page, you can click on the Accra Complex in the English version, or the Le Complex Accra, which is the French version. All right, so click on that. Just wanted to get you to see the section where we're dealing with. I want you to see those images and the definitions when you're talking about the Ka and the related definitions for that associated with work. And I want to find out exactly what page it's on. And we talk about the cosmology of the reason why Ka, of course, not only means soul, divine consciousness, Ka and Kemet, Kra and Akan. Ka also means to speak. Kemet, Ka also means to speak in Akan. Ka means to leave, like to take leave in Kemet. Kra means to take leave in Akan. Ka means work or toil in Kemet, and Kra or Nkra is also your work or your toil, your labor, your specific function. And we have that list on, it starts on page going into those kinds of details, that will start on page 16. And we start off, we show the Medusu, the hieroglyphics for that, and then I want you to get to the list to around page, all right, there it is, page 22. In the Okra, Okra complex, the soul of Akampo, page 22. So we show the connection between the length, the term in ancient Kemet and the term in Akan and the differences. So we said Ka and Kaet, male and female versions in Kemet, soul, divine consciousness, that divinity in the hair region. Kra, Krawa, soul, divine consciousness in Akan. Ka, meaning to leave in ancient Kemet. Kra, meaning to leave in Akan. Ka, meaning to speak in Kemet. Ka, meaning to speak in Akan. Ka, hot, meaning work or labor. In Kemet, in Kra, in Krabea, which is mandate, function, manner of function, life's work, labor, in Akan. Ka, or Kaet, to meditate, devise, thought, meditation. In Ka, in Akan, meaning to perceive, to learn, just like to devise, to meditate. Ka, a symbol of the arms and hands reaching, receiving. So when you see the hands, symbol of the two arms and the shoulders and the hands reaching up, that's the Ka reaching up, and what happens is the Ka itself reaches or receives the Ba. The Ka is the soul, the Ba is the spirit. The Kra is the soul in Akan, the Obra is the spirit in Akan, the divine living energy coming from Ra and Ra'et. So when the Ka hands are raised up, reaching up, they're receiving and grasping and holding and containing the Ba, so the union of the Ba and the Ka, the spirit and the soul. This is not an association, by the way, of hands up, don't shoot, which a lot of people are saying, oh, well, that's the Ka symbol, and they're throwing up the Ka symbol. Absolutely not. That's a corruption of that. If you attune to your Ka, your Kaet, your Kra, in Krabia, or your Kra, your Okrawa, it's not going to direct you to say, hands up, don't shoot. It's going to direct you to shoot back. So that's not an association at all. But the symbol of the arms and hands reaching up and receiving, Ka in Kemet, and then Akan, Ka means, literally means, to touch, join, perceive by sense of feeling, to cause to be active. So the symbolism in Kemet, when you see Ka, you see the two arms raised up, reaching to receive, to grab. And then the literal meaning of Ka, one of the literal meanings of Ka and Akan is to touch, join, perceive, and so forth. So that's actually defining that ancient symbol. And then Ka also means arms and shoulders placed on the head. And then Krado means shoulders in Akan culture, the seat of the Kra. So all of those different things, it proves, of course, that the language is the same. The multifaceted meanings, multi-layered meanings, all intact in both languages because it's the same language. The Akan language derived from that. But the key here is Ka meaning work or labor, and Kra and Krabia meaning mandate, function, or life's work, divine function, or life's labor, and so forth. And also to meditate, devise, thought, meditation. And then Ka meaning to perceive, to learn. So through your Ka and Kaet, you perceive, you learn, you think, you divide, you attune to, when we show that the symbol of the brain on the front cover of the book, the cerebral cortex, the right and left hemispheres, and then you see the cerebellum at the right and left hemispheres as well. And that's akin to the Ka complex, the soul complex. You have the Nkra and Krabia, the male and female aspects of the divine function. That's like the cerebral cortex with the two hemispheres, the expansive and contractive aspects of your function, your consciousness, and what you are to do, and also, of course, knowing that, also what not to do, what specific manner you are to function in the world and how you to execute that function. So Ka meaning that soul, but then also the specific manner in which you need to execute that function. So this is why Ka also means to meditate, to devise, thought, meditation. So when you're talking about business, when you're talking about entrepreneurship, Het Juma work in association with Nanasom, Afurakani, Afurakaitan ancestral religion, you attune to your essential nature first. Who are you? Why are you in the world? What is your specific function? What are you naturally inclined toward? Why are you naturally inclined toward certain kinds of activities? Because you will find when you begin to meditate and attune to and communicate with your crowd that your crowd is governed by the kind of divinity that carries that kind of energy. So you're naturally inclined in that direction. And once you begin to understand that and fully express that, then you will naturally move towards engaging in occupation as well as entrepreneurial endeavors that reflect your divine function, and therefore you will be able to work on a consistent basis while you're also expressing your divine function. So that's the key to a harmonious kind of, move towards entrepreneurship, move towards eduma or work. Okay, so let me check the chat. If anybody has any questions, this is a question and answer session as well, so you can post questions about this information, also questions about other information that we covered in the past that you may have had a question about. An example of this kind of information, for example, somebody who's naturally inclined towards, self-defense, fighting, things like that. They have a fiery nature. They have that kind of energy. They've always had that kind of energy, didn't know how to properly contextualize the reason why they had that kind of energy. So sometimes they may grow up, people are talking about they're bad, they have behavioral problems. Other people say you're too fired up. Why are you always focused like that? You need to calm down, all this other kind of nonsense. When the people know who they actually are, because they've embraced their culture, then they'll find that some people are naturally fiery like that, whereas some people are cooler. If you were to translate it with regards to the physical body and you were to tell immune system cells, why are you always searching out cancer cells to kill? Why are you always looking for something to destroy? Why are you always looking for something that's wrong to attack it? You need to calm down. You need to relax. You're going to stress yourself out. All that kind of foolishness, when in reality the immune system is actually designed to execute that function. That's the reason they came into being, is to seek out disorder and the purveyors of disorder and isolate them and kill them, destroy them, and then expel them from the body to maintain the integrity of the body. So you have people who are children of the divinities who govern the immune structure. So the major forces in nature that govern the immune and lymphatic system in your body, Benna and Abina in our Akan culture called Heru Behudet or Heru Bedeti or Heru Beda, Benna and Sechima or Sekhmet in ancient Kemet, the same divinities. She's also called Sechima in Akan, but also Abina. Those two divinities govern the immune system and the lymphatic system in your body. But, of course, the divine immune system and divine lymphatic system in the great divine body of supreme being, that's their function. So if you're a child of one of those divinities, just like your immune system cells are children of the immune system or your lymphatic system or lymph cells are children of the lymphatic system, then if you're a child of Benna or Abena, you're going to be naturally inclined towards that kind of activity. You have the energy capacity for that, you'll be naturally inclined towards it. Once you navigate your way through misinformation as growing up and people giving you false definitions and talking about you're going to stress yourself out and trying to push you away from your actual nature, or somebody trying to draw you in and take the fiery energy you have and misuse it, and you engage in gang activity or armed robbery and other kinds of nonsense because you're using all the fire that you have in a perverse fashion. You navigate away from that kind of misuse of your energy, you'll be naturally inclined towards that protective function, that defensive function, that enforcing of order function. If you're in a traditional society like the Akan society, you'll become obrafo, which is one who upholds order. In English, that would be like the police, but it's a different capacity in traditional culture. In this culture, you may naturally move towards teaching people self-defense. You may develop traditional ancestral martial arts, a form of martial arts, a form of combat, and then you begin teaching that. That only allows you to express your function, share that enforcing function in the world, express that kind of energy to other people who have that same energy complex so they can help develop themselves and develop their own energy complex. You're also protecting the community. You're also employing yourself through the function that you execute, and you're providing a service or product and or service to the community at the same time. That's just one kind of, you know, example of that. Somebody else may be a more cool, watery kind of individual. They've always been like that, always been introverted. Some people say, well, you need to get out more. You need to stop studying or engaged in, you know, ritual practice, meditation or things like that. You need to watch more, you know, funny television shows. You need to lighten up. You need to stop being so serious. You need to get out and do this and do that. And they're trying to force the person outside of their natural energy complex and force them into what white society says people should be, how they should act. In our traditional cultures, our ancestral cultures, we look for what divinity governs the person. The person will manifest these characteristics. We can know what kind of energy they have, and we'll be able to predict the kind of behavior that they're going to engage in, the way they're going to react to certain situations, because we know what kind of energy complex they have. We'll know that when they're babies, as they're growing up, even before their first, you know, week in the world, we'll know ahead of time, or when they get to a certain age, they're going to react to these kinds of situations, life situations like this, because of their energy complex, and we can begin to prepare for that even when they're still infants. And, of course, they're going to naturally manifest that. If somebody's cool, watery, introspective, and so forth, maybe they're connected to divinities that heal. If they use the water element to heal, they need to go under, they need to go deep, they need to submerge themselves, learn, study, reflect, introverted in an introverted fashion. You don't disrupt that by trying to force them to, quote-unquote, lighten up. Or, quote-unquote, hey, you need to have some fun. Hey, you need to get out more. Hey, you're wasting your time. Let those people engage that process, because then they're the ones who will reach deep down in the, you know, fathoms, quote-unquote, of Epo Abena, of the ocean, Bosompo, the ocean, quote-unquote, and get the riches that's down deep. They'll be able to reach down and learn from the Nsamanfo, from the Abosom, what's the best mode of healing our people of a specific disease, specific ailment that we've developed since we've been here or otherwise, without creating disorder in the body in the process. So allow the people to engage, you know, that process and be who they are. When an individual begins to do that, then they may be naturally inclined towards not only teaching after they've studied and gone through that process, but they'll be naturally inclined towards certain healing modalities. They'll move through that process, and then they'll begin to develop an occupation or you know, an entrepreneurial endeavor that reflects that kind of energy complex. So through that entrepreneurial endeavor, they'll be able to procure medicine, heal our people without creating all kinds of negative side effects at the same time. They'll be able to teach and transfer knowledge and keep that in the culture and transfer it to other people who have the same energy complex with their children and or adults. And then they're bringing order and balance back to the community, but at the same time, they're employing themselves and executing their divine function throughout. So that's another example of that kind of, you know, that kind of focus. So let's see. So if anybody has any questions about that, just hit the number 1 on the phone, and you can also post something in the chat room. All right, so we also want to look at going back to the Okra Complex book, and we want to see, I'm looking for the correct page. Don't want to get too in-depth in it, but we just wanted to show a specific image. So if you look on page 32, you see a kuduo, which is a vessel. It's also on the back page of the book, on the back cover of the book as well. So that's an akan vessel, an ornate kind of, you know, akan vessel. But that vessel is used and was used, and for those who still practice authentic culture, used on a shrine specifically for the kra, the soul, krawa, soul, male and female. We have the quote here. It says, kra is worshipped, is given offering. Among some of the Akan tribes, each person has an altar for his kra. That was a quote from the Akan Concept of the Soul by Sam K. Akesan, and that was written about 50 years ago, and we were quoting that for a specific reason. But the kra is worshipped, is given offering. Among some of the Akan tribes, each person has an altar for his kra. That was important when we found that quote because Aaron Samanfo told us we need to establish a shrine for the kra. We hadn't seen any Akan people doing that, but Aaron Samanfo instructed us to do that. And we began to do that. After we began to do that, then we found, well, even before we found it, the Nananoman Samanfo told us that this is a practice that we always had. But because of the infection of Christianity, Islam, and so forth, people started falling away from that practice. So we reinstituted that practice in our Kwamu mind, in the Kwamu Nation in North America. And then, of course, later on, we find this quote written by an Akan author over 50 years ago and talking exactly what the Nsamafo instructed us about. Kra is worshipped. It's a divinity. It's given offerings. Among some of the Akan tribes, each person has an altar for his kra. That was written a number of decades ago, and people have fallen out of that practice, and it must be instituted, reinstituted. We also have a quote talking about the same process, but from the Yoruba perspective, and it gives more texture as well. And this quote says, Yoruba religion focuses on the worship of the Orisha because of the belief that they act on behalf of Olodumare, who is too exalted to be approached directly, yet Olodumare, the creator in Yoruba tradition, which is Ra and Ancient Kemet. Oshumare is the creatress, by the way, and Ra'et is Oshumare. But yet Olodumare is indirectly involved in the day-to-day life of an individual through his or her Ori Inu, which is also called Ori Apere, Asiniwaye, venerable head, one's guardian spirit in the physical world. Thus, in the past, every adult Yoruba dedicated an altar to the Ori Inu. The practice continues today in the rural area. And that's a quote from Ori Lonise, the hermeneutics of the head and hairstyles among the Yoruba by Babatunde Lawa. So we showed those quotes together because two authors from two different cultures at different times, separated by decades, unaware of one another, of course, are both saying the same thing. In the past, every person in Akan culture had a shrine or altar for their kra, their soul, divine consciousness, and the kra is worshipped and given offering to the divinity. Then Lawal says, Babatunde says, Yoruba religion, in the past, every adult Yoruba dedicated an altar to the Ori Inu, which is the same as the kra in Akan. The practice continues today in the rural area. Why in the rural areas? Because in the urban areas, people are more infected with white culture, Christianity, Islam, and everything else, and then they kind of push back traditional culture. Same thing in the Akan tradition, in those rural areas where people are still more so trying to hold on to the traditional culture, even though the whites in the offspring are in the rural areas as well, giving Bibles out and everything else, that kind of nonsense. But still, it's the same process. The reality, and it's the same in the Igbo tradition with the chi, which is the soul, divine consciousness. It's the same in the Bodun tradition with the se lido, the soul, divine consciousness. We will have a shrine for the kra. And then just to give that texture, once again, that relation, the term kara in Kemet means a shrine. And then the priest of the ka is called the hem ka, which is the priest of the ka. And then there was also a Het Ka, which means the house of the Ka, or the chapel of the Ka, a portion of a tomb set apart for the dwelling of the Ka, but it's also the shrine place for the Ka, the house of the Ka, the temple of the Ka. So the same thing, and when you see the shrine, and we show the image of the shrine, Kara in ancient Kemet, it looks similar to the Kuduwo, which is a vessel for the water that's used to purify the Kra, purify the head, and so forth in the Akan tradition. So we show those connections specifically so that once you understand that you can develop an entrepreneurial endeavor based on the divinity that governs you, the kind of energy that you have, and you can recognize that and plug that into an expression of Ejuma work that not only serves the community, but it's also in harmony with your nature, in harmony with your function in the world. But first, of course, you have to be in alignment with your crowd so you can have that clear communication. That vessel, that kuduo that the Akan use, the Yoruba use their own process, in Bozun they use their own process, everybody has their own process, but they have a shrine for that kra where they sit and communicate with that divinity that's in the head region. You experience that divinity on a regular basis as very often as a strong pull in the head region towards or away from certain kinds of behaviors or actions or individuals or whatever. You have a quote-unquote first mind, or you have a natural push or pull towards or away from something. Now, every time you have an inclination, it's not the cross. Sometimes it can be an ancestral spirit. Sometimes it can be a discarnate spirit that's not ancestral. Sometimes it can be a different divinity. Sometimes it can be, you know, conditionings and, you know, things that you've internalized, that you've conditioned yourself to respond to, reactions and so forth, and you do that. The key is, the more consistent you are with going to your cross, establishing just a basic, portable shrine to the cross space where you sit down and focus on your cross, engage in the Susu Hall process, meditative process, and communicate with your own cross, then you'll be able to delineate the difference between those communications coming from other entities, those conditionings that you've inculcated within yourself, and communications that are coming directly from the crop. And when you do that on a consistent basis, it's no different than working out. If you go work out one time, you're not going to all of a sudden become very muscular or cut or whatever. If you work out 2 days in a row, it's not going to happen all of a sudden. But when you're consistent with working out, then you begin to tone your muscles and everything else. But the same is true when you're consistent with going to the crop. The more you align with that force, the more open and receptive you become as your consistency is maintained. And then you'll be able to determine the difference. It's no different than, you know, as we said before, the example of new parents, when they have a baby, at first, you know, the baby just cries in different instances, and it's just the same. All they hear is crying. When they become more attuned to the child, they'll be able to tell the difference between a cry, which indicates the baby is wet, a cry that indicates the baby is hungry, a cry that indicates the baby is sleepy, a cry that indicates the baby is in pain. You'll be able to attune to the child and know the differences between those communications. And it's the same thing when we attune to our cry on a consistent basis, a regular basis, as well as attuning to the Nsamapa on a regular basis, you'll be able to delineate the differences between the kind of communication, the manner in which they communicate, the way they transmit information, transmit knowledge, and so forth. So the key here is if you're focused on Ejuma entrepreneurship, you want to engage in that process. First, get to know yourself, who you are, and that is rooted in the Kra, that's rooted in the function that you've been given to execute in the world. And there's another piece in here that we want to get to, touch on briefly in the Okra Okra Complex book, and that is dealing with, let's see, on page, it begins around page 36. And that final piece there is dealing with the Abusia, which is the Metric clan, and the Ntoro, which is the Patrick clan. So what defines a person in our clan culture, and it's very similar across the board, it's like a triangle. At the apex of the triangle is your crowd, your soul, your divine consciousness, your spirit's brain. At the bottom right-hand corner, you have, that's your soul. On the bottom right-hand corner, and imagine the triangle itself, those the three, you know, lines that make up the triangle itself as being your spirit body. That triangle is your spirit body. The apex of the triangle, right on top of the triangle, is your spirit's brain, your soul, your divine consciousness that's guiding your spirit body. The space within the triangle that fills up the triangle, the ahinasa, as we call it in our Khan, is your ba, or your bra, your life spirit, divine living energy. So you have the spirit body, which is the triangle. That energy that fills up the spirit body is your divine living energy, your spirit, your ba, or bra. On the apex of the tip of the triangle, at the head of the triangle, is your crown, your soul, the divine consciousness. The bottom right-hand corner is the Matric clan divinity. Bottom left-hand corner is the Patrick clan divinity. So just like you have DNA from your mother, you have DNA from your father. The DNA from the mother and the father combine to make you. So there's influence from the father, influence from the mother. You have characteristics physiologically that reflect what came from your father, maybe the eyes or something like that. You have characteristics that came from the mother, maybe the nose or cheekbones or something like that, and they combine within you. So you receive something from both sides. You also receive something spiritually from both sides, and this goes back to our incarnations on the continent. We were assigned to, from thousands of years ago when the Abosone first began to possess our people and affected our blood cells, then when we began to have children after that process and these affected blood cells that vibrate at the frequency of whatever divinities possessed our people, then those children were born with cells that resonate at the frequency of the deities that possess the parents, and now the children are magnets for those divinities. Some divinities are carried through the blood circle, through the Patric circle, Patric line, Patric lineage. Some are carried through the Matric lineage, and so forth. So in our Khan culture, we'll have a divinity that governs the Matric circle that goes back thousands of years and governs that matrilineal clan for thousands of years. And the same thing, the Ntoro, the patrilineal clan, has certain characteristics, and you know the people from that particular patrilineal clan, they have certain kinds of characteristics, a certain kind of character. They have certain ritual practices they engage in on certain days because they are connected to a certain deity that's been watching over them and protecting their clan on the patrilineal side for generations. And the same thing on the matrilineal side. That's the spiritual DNA from the mother and the father. That goes back to when we were still on the continent. So when we reincarnate now, even before we get into a womb, we're an ancestor. We died maybe on the continent, made our transition. We're an ancestor in the ancestral realm, or an ancestress in the ancestral realm. We were connected to a patrilineal deity and a matrilineal deity, or matricircular deity when we were alive. When we die and our spirits go to the ancestral realm, we still are connected to those, that male and female divinity. Even in the spirit world, we still have that kind of character, that kind of energy. So at some point, a couple hundred years later, we reincarnate through our descendants. Our spirit is drawn into the womb of one of our great-great-great-great-great-granddaughters. We carry that same patricircular and matricircular divinity connected to our spirit with us back into the world once again. So we come out. So we have not only the physical DNA, but what about that spiritual DNA that goes way back to the patrilineal and matrilineal clans that we carry with us is still with us. And so that defines, that further gives nuance to who we are. All of us have a kra, as Afurakani Afurakaini people. A specific function is encoded within the kra, but then we come through a blood circle. So that not only defines us and makes us look different physiologically from other people because we have a certain blood circle or lineage, but then spiritually we come through that blood circle. What have people in that blood circle, that clan, how have they been operating for the past few thousand years? Where did they migrate to? what kinds of regions that they migrate to, what kind of forces in nature that they encounter and interface with, get possessed by, changes their cells to a certain extent, alters their energy, and they pass that energy on to their clans. That's been happening intergenerationally for hundreds of years in your clan, and now when you're born through that same clan, you carry that unique energy. That's a portion of your spiritual DNA on the father's side, on the mother's side, and then the Kra, which is the apex of the triangle, and now you have the apex, which is the divine function, the right and left corners at the bottom of the shrine, the Patric clan and Matric clan divinities, which gives even further definition to that divine function. And now you're a full entity, and now you have a certain kind of character, disposition, personality, and so forth. All of that goes into how you are going to execute your function in the world, and then when you begin to engage in Ejuma or work, then that also plays that part as well. It what it does when we say plays the part, it defines for you the mode in which you're going to move, how you can embrace a certain line of work that's in harmony with your function. But you need to know who you are first. And knowing who you are is not just simply studying and reading about different cultures and stuff like that. The key is doing that work, that spiritual Ejuma, that spiritual work, communicating with your Nsamapo, communicating with your Kra. And then once you get to know who you are over time, then you can begin to incorporate that into who you are. Okay, so, and there's also the portion, if you go back to the Oberima publication, in that section we were reading, at first we talked about, it's in the same section, and we talk about Ejuma, Ejuma Ye, Ejuma's work is good and so forth, and person that's never unemployed, especially in these circumstances, we can't be totally dependent on the whites and our offspring. So even if you have a job, you still want to develop your skills, know who you are, develop in that area, and engage some form of entrepreneurial activity based on who you are. Even if you have a job, that job is not, of course, allowing you to express your specific function in the world, then you have something separate, independent, that you're doing, even if it's on a lower scale income-wise, but you're engaged in expressing yourself spiritually, harmoniously, executing your function in the world, serving the community at the same time, empowering yourself at the same time through your culture based on your practice of ancestral religion. To know who you are and engage that process. It doesn't matter if you're an engineer, scientist, whatever, you'll approach those things from a harmonious ancestral perspective. So we were talking about that in that part on page 13. Then we get into page 14, and we talked about different things as far as balancing the fiery emotions and watery emotions and the various temperaments in between, because that second principle value of manhood is balance. We talked about some examples there, ramifications of that. And then we get to the section that leads up to Amaitesu, which is directly related to Ejuma work, entrepreneurship, and Nanasom. So we say, after some examples, then we say, as you establish balance within the manifestations of your emotional energy, you will be able to recognize the physical, mental, intellectual, spiritual assault being waged against you daily from the society of the whites and their offspring. You will therefore be able to discern, properly determine what is true and what is false, what you need to accept and what you need to reject, who and what to love, be in law with, and who and what to hate. Through ritual practice of Nanasong, your Afurakani, Afurakani ancestral religious practice, you must ground yourself. In this process, you have balanced your body, you have balanced your emotional energy, you have balanced your spirit, mind. You are now capable of connecting with other individuals whom have balanced themselves as well and begin the process of Amaitesu, which is nation-building restoration. So first you balance yourself. You recognize the order of creation, divine balance of male and female. Then you balance yourself emotional energy, physically, work-wise, culture-wise, and so forth. Once you balance your emotional energy, spirit, mind, and so forth, Now you are capable of connecting with other individuals who have done the same thing, engaged the same process. Now you all can engage the process of Amayan Sesiu, or nation-building restoration. Again, you are part of a greater system. All created entities are important components of the world system and have divinely allotted functions to execute. When you balance yourself physically and non-physically, your natural compulsion to fulfill your role in creation will be felt strongly and constantly. Amayan Sesiu, or nation-building, is a product of this compulsion. So when we talk about nation-building, this is a spiritual compulsion that you experience once you begin to balance yourself on every level. Because, again, we are part of a system. We are not isolated individuals. You will recognize the reality that to exist under the rule and governance of the whites and their offspring are enemies is the ultimate imbalance for the Afurakani Amayan nation community. You will thus be naturally drawn to those who are engaged or interested in carrying out all seven major aspects of Amayan Sesiu, which is nation building, methods of food production and preservation, methods of curing disease, a military structure, defense, security, the institutionalization of values, meaning establishing institutions, including training, methods of governance and jurisprudence, constructions of homes on acquired land, and manufacturing of clothing. Hold on 1 second. Give me 1 second. So those seven principal values of our ancestry nation building, you're naturally compelled. Once you balance yourself, then you will unearth that natural compulsion, and it's there already, but you'll be able to really experience it strongly and constantly. And then you will begin to naturally be inclined towards one or more of those seven different major areas of nation building. When you're drawn to those one or more of those seven different areas, whether it's manufacturing of clothing, constructions of homes on acquired land, and so forth, you won't just engage in certain activities that are political in nature. You'll also engage those seven different aspects of Amayan Sesiu with regard to hejuma work or entrepreneurship, so you can still execute your function, support the nation-building process, and engage in work that's harmonious at the same time. And let's see. I just want to check to see here if we didn't miss anything in that particular section. Okay. So, right. So just to finish out that particular section, and Afurakani Oberima, meaning Afurakani man, is compelled to participate in the process of Amayan Sesiu in all of these areas, in some capacity. These various aspects of Amayan Sesiu nation building are governed by the Abosom of the seven celestial bodies as well. You will find that there will be one or more out of the seven areas that your spirit is drawn more strongly to than all others. So some may be drawn more so developing a military structure, defense, security. That can also include cybersecurity and different things, security that function. Some will be more so drawn to methods of curing disease. Some will be more so drawn to medicine. Some will be more so drawn to construction of homes on acquired land. So they'll be dealing with geology, that science, or they'll be engineers, architects. Some people will be more so drawn towards manufacturing of clothing, so they'll be dealing with textiles. Some will be more so drawn towards methods of food production and preservation, so they'll be engaged in agricultural sciences, including training and transferring knowledge regarding that, in addition to actually, you know, producing crops. Some will be more so drawn towards the institutionalization of value, establishing institutions, whether it's schools, training, programs, curriculums, cultural programs, which are value-based, of course. You institutionalize your values through holidays, ritual practices, ritual observances. People are reinforced ritually with the values of the culture, why the culture is important, why our identity is important, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, what can cause us harm, what's self-destructive, and what is constructive. So you institutionalize that knowledge through ritual practice, through holidays, through training, but then also, of course, institutions of training, training for food production, preservation, agriculture, and so forth, training institutions to teach healing, curing disease, training institutions to teach a military structure to develop that, transfer that knowledge, methods of governance and jurisprudence and so forth, trainings on that. Some people will be drawn, again, to the institutionalization of values. They'll be teaching educators, developing and transferring knowledge and so forth. Some people will be more inclined towards government and jurisprudence, systems, sound systems of governance. If you have a nation and you have people who are engaged in construction and you're growing food and you're killing people and everything else, but then when people get into disputes, it leads to murder and all kinds of violence because you don't have a sound system of mitigating disputes of governance and how we're going to approach things in a harmonious fashion, come to consensus so the entire society can move forward without imploding, which not only is self-destructive, but when you implode like that, you also make yourself vulnerable to those who from the outside will be seeking to attack you from the outside anyway. So some people are naturally inclined towards systems of governance and jurisprudence. They may be a child of Nana Yao, Ya, or Abba, which is Heru, Wachet, Nekebet. They'll be naturally inclined towards engaging that kind of energy complex that holds the nation together, establishes a governing structure so not only individuals can function harmoniously amongst one another when they're interacting and trading amongst one another and so forth, interfacing, but also when groups interact with groups. What's acceptable, what's not acceptable. So every divinity has a specific function. We're children of those divinities, and that function is encoded within us based on our ancestry, our specific ancestral blood circle, and then, which makes it even more unique. And then we move forward, not only politically, but also economically with that. Okay, and I see we have some more people in the chat room. So just for the new people who came in a little bit later, and I see we have some people come in after we did some of the announcements, so we can give those. Okay, before we go, before we repeat those, I see we have a caller, and then we're going to give that information. And for those, if you have a question, and some of the new people came in to the chat room, if you're a guest in the chat room, you can't submit a question. You have to log in with a username. If you don't have a username, of course, you can create one very quickly, and if you have a question or a comment, then you can interact in the chat room. Okay. Okay, so we have a caller. 7730, Michiavo, you had a question or comment? Okay, 7730, you had a question or comment? Hold on 1 second. Okay, yes, 7730, Michiavo.
Now. Yes. One thing that is always an ongoing discussion, you have publications and many more, which is wonderful for the community to read. But the one thing that always comes to mind is, in regards to self-sufficiency, how in the direction of, let's say, a male or African man sells your books or you offer to sell them to make them be efficient, to be self-sufficient, one of the keys for them in that journey. Because not everybody has really made that commitment or decided they want to be self-sufficient from this beast. So that's one of my questions. or something I'm trying to relate to a question I ask.
Wait, now you said the first part I couldn't hear clearly. You said, how do you become self-sufficient? Right. Is that what you said?
Well, you said, well, like this. Let me repeat this. You have, like, publications that people could be selling to make themselves in the direction to be self-sufficient. Am I right?
Right, right.
Okay. So now I say, how is this in the direction for anyone, for most of them that take on that role of self-sufficient and they have no direction? But let's say they go and so they try, let's say, starting selling books as a start. How is it for them, for anyone, or mostly the males particularly, in that direction for them to push to be self-sufficient? Because even the time we live in today, some of them still don't want to be self-sufficient. A good number. Even some of them, they can or not. Most of them don't got work. And some of them still have to still deal with this beast. So my question is, how is this being a push for self-sufficient for those who that want to go into that route or have not chosen to go that route?
Okay, I see what you're saying. And may I say for that question. So the question is, brother was asking, so when he's talking about the selling of the books, what he's talking about is we have, like for the new people who just came on, we were talking about earlier that we have, out of the 15 books that we have published, and we've also published like 60 articles, so the e-book versions of our books are free online and so are the 60 articles, but we have, out of the 15 books, 10 of them we not only have in e-book, we have all 15, but 10 of them we also have in soft cover. And they range between $8 and $11. So we sell the soft cover versions. We print them ourselves on our own printers in-house in color, and we distribute those, and we were talking about that earlier. But we also have the program, which the brother mentioned, where if you would like to become an entrepreneur, then we have a program where you can purchase the books wholesale and then sell them retail. So, and that's on the website as well as on my page. So it wouldn't be a situation where you're working for us. You're your own independent, you know, entrepreneur. You're basically purchasing the books at a discount from us, and then you sell them retail. That's a way that people can either generate additional income. Typically, when the people see the books, when you get a book and the color books, they see the images from ancient Khmer and traditional culture, and it's talking about things like Muhammad never existed and showing the deity Muhammad, the deity of the Northern Nile, which most people have never seen and didn't know that's where they stole the name Muhammad from, and showing that that's a spirit that animates a river and has nothing to do with a fictional white Arab or a black Arab, fictional character Jesus. We go into detail about that, or they see all these different information. Afuraka, Afuraka is the origin of the term Africa, or divine law and divine hate. The books themselves, when people get them in their hands, they typically sell themselves, and when people see them, they're like, oh, well, what is that? And because it's only either $8, $9, $10, or $11, they say, okay, I'll get that. So the books kind of sell themselves. So when somebody participates, they can contact us. You can contact us. Look on the website. You can order, you know, books wholesale, and then you can sell them in your region retail to your coworkers, family, friends, everything else. And that's a way for you to generate additional income. But then for people who are not employed, it's a way to generate just income, period. And in a sense, so for example, there are some people in the Nation of Islam who are selling Final Call newspapers, and they that's all that they do. That's one way that they've allowed their members to, as soon as you join, you automatically have a job because they can give you the papers and you begin to go out and sell. So every single person in the organization has an opportunity to generate revenue for themselves. Now, of course, their philosophy is misinformation, so of course they're misinforming people, but that idea is similar to other organizations. What we're doing is, of course, disseminating accurate information, and it's a way to inform our people, and people can also make themselves self-sufficient or on the pathway, as the brother said, to self-sufficiency by at the same time doing something that's in harmony with their function. At least they're disseminating accurate information. And then that can be used as a lesson to see, okay, well, just like they've done this with our Kwamu Mine, Amadukai Tifimuli, our Kwamu Nation in North America, distributing these, publishing these, this work and distributing it, the same model can be used for the individual who starts on that path. They can either continue to distribute the work, generate revenue for themselves. At the same time, you can look and say, okay, well, let me attune to my own craft, find out what my function is, and develop something similar based on who I am and use that to serve the community and employ myself at the same time. So as you said, brother, they start off with self-sufficiency. It can be a start towards that. It can lead to self-sufficiency. It can also lead to people finding out who they are. The reason why, when you asked about, you know, some people just don't want to be independent at all, even if they have an opportunity, sometimes it's a couple of things. The first and foremost, we've been conditioned against that. We've been conditioned to be dependent on the whites and offspring since enslavement and forward. We've also been conditioned to be engaged in self-hatred. So when we even go into black businesses just in the community, if somebody has a bad experience with a store, for example, like a black health food store, then they'll say, I tried to give them a chance. They did something I didn't like, so I had to go back to these other stores. They give the black store one chance, and then that's it. If they go to a white store and they're treated, given the nigger treatment at the white store, they get mad, and then they just go to the next white store. And if they treat them bad, they go to the next white store. But they never say, I tried to give the white stores a chance. It didn't work out, so I'm never going to any other white stores in the rest of my life. I'm only going to black stores. We never think like that. We only think like that with our stuff. And it's the same thing with different kinds of business endeavors, entrepreneurial endeavors, when people see black business out there. That's just a conditioning. We've been taught to reject ourselves and anything that reflects ourselves, we've been taught that. So part of the education process, dealing with the craw, is that's why we were talking about that in connection with. We talked about Ejuma work, ne nanason, Ejuma in association with ancestral religion. When people start to get involved in their culture and connecting with their craw, then they can start wiping away all of that nonsense, that those false ideas and notions about who we are. And then we have that natural compulsion that we talked about previously towards Ama Incestu. That natural compulsion won't be unearthed or freed while we're still controlled by misinformation. So the first thing is we get the proper information out. So that's why we say with the books and the articles and the videos and the audio, the archives, all of the PDF versions of the books, the e-books, we make all of those free, and they're always free. So even if people don't buy anything, they can still access the free books and still read all of the books that we have. And once people begin to read and study and then practice, then they start to, you know, eliminate those false ideas, false notions, and then their natural compulsion towards embracing the community, embracing themselves, embracing the community, and beginning to support various aspects of the community, entrepreneurially as well as business-wise and everything else. This is what we, this is how we overcome that. So we overcome it through giving the proper information. The way we got into the situation with these negative mindsets, where people are no longer, they seem to be disinclined from wanting to be self-sufficient and everything, that simply comes from us being brainwashed. So we have to reverse that through giving proper information. And then once we, you know, engage that process, then we can move forward and, you know, people are naturally jumped towards an opportunity to engage in something self-sufficient. Okay. Made out there.
And the funny thing about that day is not among us now. There are times either the males that could work or not will have no choice to be fine what they are and what they're good at to be self-sufficient. Same thing with the women. That day is approaching us now. And much times some people might think or not thought of it, they're going to have no choice anyway, because the beast going to pull out of them anyway. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to be something that's going to be worthwhile, that most people going to take in to what you said tonight and really reflect on that, because that's something that has to be ready to look at now, in our situation now. So, you know, thanks for answering that question. And, you know, till next time.
Okay. Made out there. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a good point, because, yes, brother was saying that actually even for people who didn't want to be self-sufficient necessarily, still caught up in that mindset where the dependency is there, the whites and their offspring, the Achiwadi both spirits of disorder are forcing people to look in that direction because they're not allowing them to be gainfully employed anyway. So they find themselves unemployed for long periods of time, and now they're forced to think about something different. However, if we do not step in, of course, the whites and their offspring have something for that as well. They have drugs. They have all kinds of criminality set up for us. So once they remove the quote-unquote jobs, we have nothing. We're starving, suffering, in poverty, and then they offer, you know, in the community. Of course, the whites and their offspring distribute all of the drugs throughout the communities, through the police, through the white Arab grocers and the Koreans and everything. They're selling drugs, they're selling guns in their little nasty stores and everything. The police are enforcing those sales. They're all part of that. The municipal government heads are part of that. The president is part of that. You know what I'm saying? So they have that plan in place. So we need to have, you know, the opposite. We need to have structures in place so that our people who are unemployed, naturally inclined towards doing something for themselves, or even if they're not necessarily conscious of that, having that option there and beginning to show people so they have an opportunity to lift themselves out of that situation. And the more people who engage that process, so for example, the more people who become distributors with our publications, which is simply basically say you buy 10 books, that's the minimum, say you bought 10 books of the Apuraka Apurakai book, that you wanted to sell those, you want to buy 10 of them, that book is $10. The discount price is 30% off, so you'll be, instead of paying $100 for 10, you'll pay $70 for 10, then you sell the 10 books, you make $100 minus your cost, you've made $30. And basically, when you get the 10 books, as soon as you go to work with that colorful book and open it up, or you sit on the train, or you're in line somewhere and you pull out a book, so somebody sees it, they want to know where you got it from, they've never seen the book before, they're like, how much is it? You're like, well, actually, I distribute them, it's only $10. They pull out a $10 bill, and that's that. So very often people will be able to, you know, sell the books rather quickly. Once people engage that process and more distributors come on board like that, we're disseminating that information throughout the community, throughout the world. People are benefiting. When people, many people, they've read the Kukuntuntun or Apuraka, Apuraikai, and we've had many, many, many people over the years say just from one reading of a certain section, they decided right then, or listening to a video associated with the book, right then, they're no longer going to smoke weed anymore. They've been smoking for years, and they stopped. Or they stopped drinking because they recognize what they're doing to themselves. They learned about melanin, abatum, in one of our books from Kwamawa Whole Life Journal, where we talk about that. And they said, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. So that does a couple of things. It transforms their life because, of course, it saves their lives, basically, because they're not going to kill themselves with these poisons. It also changes the way their children view them. They're more harmonious now. It also saves them a great deal of money. We're giving money to the whites and their offspring for alcohol, for example, or cigarettes. We're enriching them to the tune of billions of dollars purchasing poison. They come into our communities, in the poorest communities, sell us poison. We die from it, and at the same time, we're giving the little bit of money we have to our enemies to poison us, and we're purchasing poison from them. So people read the Kukuntuntun or read the Apuraka Apurakai book, immediately they say, I'm no longer going to drink, I'm no longer going to smoke, I want to change my life around. They started doing meditation at the shrine, not just meditating to the abyss, but communicating with the ancestresses and ancestors of their own, communicating with their own Okra, started changing their behavior, their relationship with their children, relationship with their significant other, their spouse, begins to be more harmonious, or they extract themselves from a negative relationship with their significant other, and, you know, get involved with people who are not abusing them and everything else, extract themselves from domestic violence and that kind of nonsense that before they felt trapped in, transform their lives, transform their even physical health, things about diet and things like that. It benefits them. But then they also don't spend the kind of money on self-destructive things anymore, and they begin to invest that kind of money back into the community. So in the past, maybe they were spending money every weekend on alcohol and cigarettes. Now they're taking that same money instead of giving it to a white Arab grocer, dope peddler basically. Now they're using that money towards a black business that will support somebody's black child. They'll go to a black bookstore, they'll go to a black health food store, they go to a black restaurant, a black vegan restaurant or something like that. They'll go to a black store that's selling clothes, or they'll go to whatever thing they need, they'll look for a black business first that can provide that product or service. Maybe they heard one of the people on our show talking about the business, product, or service that they provide to the community. They'll listen to those archives, get that information, and support that individual or those individuals. So it transforms people on a number of levels. So not only are you generating some funds, you're informing the community. You inform the community, they transform their behavior, and that leads to us keeping more funds in the community because now such individuals don't want to support our enemies any longer. They want to support our community as much as possible. So the black businesses in the community begin to grow just from that knowledge. So that's a beneficial effect. Okay, we had a question in the chat room. I'd like to get that discount by ordering the 5 books you mentioned earlier. Well, beautiful, how can I do this right now during the show? Okay, this is all you have to do. Here's the link. And for those who came in a little bit later, what we were talking about, okay, so I'll just put the link. The link is to the Nhoma page, publications page on our website, odirafo.com, O-D-W-I-R-A. F as in free, O.com, and go to the Nhoma page, Nhoma.html, and you'll see the link on the page. You'll see the golden, bronze golden-looking disc, which is a Kra, Okra Konwade, which is a pendant that's worn by attendants to the king or queen mother that represents the Kra, actually. And that image, you click on that, it'll take you to the Nhoma page. All you have to do is just go to that page, order any one of the 5, any combination of the 5 books. Just go to the page like normal, like you were just like a normal customer and ordering 5 books, and just order those. And in the notation, you can say this is for the, well, I already know it's you, but you can say it's the for the discount. But you can just order any of the 5 books, and it doesn't matter which of the 5 you order, because once you make the order, and we see the order, we're going to send you all 10 anyway. And so what this is talking about, so just going through the regular button where it says add to cart, you can even just pick the first 5. You can pick Afuraka, Afurakai, Umaranechi, Kukutuntum, Okra, Okra Complex, and, Obedima. You can pick those 5 and just place the order, and it'll be something like $50 or something like that, plus the shipping. And then when we see that order, when we go to the site and see the order, instead of sending you those 5, we'll send you those 5 plus the other 5, and we're going to send all of them to you at the same time. So what we're talking about here for the new people who came on, this is our third. We have 3 shows weekly on Joda, Inada, and Awukuda, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and all at 9 p.m. Eastern. Akanfo Nanasom, Ancient Authentic Akan Ancestral Religion on Joada on Mondays, Ojida Purification on Tuesdays, when we're talking about Nanasom and specific texts and things like that we break down The Monday show is specifically on our Khan ancestry religion. On Tuesday, we're talking about ancestry religion in general, but specific things, very often texts dealing from ancient Kemet and clearing up the nature and function of specific divinities, how they apply to our lives today. Hold on one sec. Okay, no, don't click the donate one. Just click the regular one, the regular add to cart button, just like the regular, just like buying regular books. And then, just in fact, let me, for those people who are new to the site, when you go to the Unhoma page, what you'll do is you'll scroll down past the introduction and past the donate button. It's right up under the donate button. You'll see the picture of Tahuti there. And then up under the picture of Tahuti is the pull-down menu, and then it'll have the button that says add to cart. When you click on the pull-down menu, you'll see all 10 soft cover books there. And you can put the, you know, cursor on one of them, it'll light up, then you can hit add to cart, it'll take you to the cart, and it'll show that you, say you picked one copy of Afuraka, Afuraka, The Origin of Term Africa, then when you're in that cart, it'll tell you to return to shopping, then you click that, and you can find the other, you know, click another book, hit add to cart, it'll take you to the PayPal cart, continue shopping, go back, do that five times, pick five of the books, and then just make finish the order in PayPal, and you'll pay for the order, but you'll only be paying for those five that you picked. But when we send the shipment out, we will send those five, plus we'll send the other five, so you'll actually get all 10 of our books. We'll send them all out. So this is what we were talking about. So we have the three different shows, and then, of course, at Guada Marketplace Day is our Wukuda Wednesdays, our Kuada Wednesdays, where we talk about business and so forth. And very often, most often, we'll have a guest. Like last week, we had a guest. A couple of weeks before that, we had a guest talking about, you know, their services, products and services in the community. So what we're doing is we have a presentation coming up in Philadelphia next weekend on the 13th, Mimenita Saturday, the 13th. We always give a free book away to one of our publications, soft cover publications, a free copy to everybody who attends the event. We've done that at all the various events in different cities we've gone to. We've given up over 350 free books away. The way we can do that is with support from the community. So we always want to keep that program going. So when people come to our presentations, the presentations are always free. And then in addition to that, we give a free copy of one of our books away to everybody who attends the event so they can have that, even if they can't purchase a book, at least they have a free copy of a soft cover, and they can share and so forth. To keep that going, of course, we need support from the community, so we've had a special option over the past 3 days during these three shows, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and today is the last day for it. So the option is for those who, if you purchase five of our books, just five, you know, go onto the website like normal and say you want to, sometimes people purchase two books or one or five, or sometimes people will purchase all 10 just to save on shipping. They'll just go ahead and purchase all 10 of them. But if you purchase five of them tonight, what we will do is we'll not only send you those five, but we'll send you the other five books as well. So we'll send you all 10 of the books that we have available in softcover for the price of five. So all you have to do is go to the Nhoma page, the publications page on our website. You can just order the first five books in the list, and you can just make the regular order, just like you would normally do. But once we ship them out to you, we'll ship you those first five, but then we'll also ship out to you the second five that you didn't order. We're going to send you the whole set of 10. And that's just a way for us to, it's a discount, like a sale, basically. It's a way for us to generate some funds so we can order more ink, color ink and everything, so that we can, in time, so we can print out these books for the free book giveaway, as well as have enough soft cover books for of the other titles for people who come out to the events and so forth who want to, you know, obtain those as well. And that's just a way to support what we're doing. Because our books are free, because our presentations are free, and because our services are free, our trainings and so forth, whether it's substance abuse, abstinence, we have ritual methods for that. Through ancestral religion, you can, you know, overcome that. Domestic violence situations, neutralization, as we call it, intergenerational trauma, all of that. We have programs for that. So you'll see our services and publications on the website. So the publications and the ebook versions are all free. The videos, of course, instructional videos, those are free, of course. The services, the workshops dealing with these different issues, those are free as well. So the only way we generate the revenue that we generate is through the sale of the soft cover publications, as well as periodically some people will make a donation. Anybody who makes a donation of $15 or more, we will send you a copy of one of our books anyway. So it's not just a donation. You're going to get a book anyway. So for some people who want to make a donation of any amount, of course, on the same page, on the publications page, the NHOMA page, there's a button for donation. You can do that. Any donation of $15 or more, we will send you a book. Also, if you do make a donation, there's an option, like when you type in the amount, right next to it is a box that says, click if you want to make this a recurrent donation, like a monthly donation. And then if you click that, then PayPal will automatically deduct, say if you made a $15 donation like somebody did last week, then PayPal will automatically send, you know, debit $15 from their account and send it to us once a month. And you can cancel it whenever you want. If you do that with the recurrent donations, it's the same thing. We have 10 books out right now. So if you did a recurrent donation, that means every month you will basically be donating automatically, via automatic debit for $15. But we will send you a book every month. We have 10 books out now, so for the next 10 months, you'll be receiving a book automatically in the mail. By then, we will, even before the 10 months are up, we will, you know, have more books out. We have a couple more books we're going to be releasing very soon. We just haven't had a chance to get finished the finishing touches on those, but we're going to have some more. So within the next few weeks, we'll have a couple more books out, and before the 10 months is up, there's a lot of information we have not been able to publish yet. We have more than 10 more books coming out. So before that 10 months is up, we're going to have many more books out. So even for the next year, you'll be able to get a book every month, a new book every month for the year if you did that recurring donation. Some people have done that because it's easier for them. They don't have to remember. They just pick the recurrent part, and every month automatically there'll be a $15 donation or $20 or whatever amount you want. But for tonight, in addition to that, but for that specific special that we're trying to generate funds so that we can order the ink and supplies and everything for the free book giveaway, if you order 5 books tonight, and this, we've been doing this, if for people who have listened to the shows Monday, Tuesday, and up until tonight, we've been doing this for the past 3 nights. So tonight is the last night. Our next broadcast, it won't be until next Monday. And but if you order the books tonight, if you order 5 tonight, instead of sending 5, of course, we're going to send you all 10. So you can just go to the website and make that order. And there's 6 minutes left in the live stream. Okay, and then the question is, may I just send you the $50 and send me the 10 books on each of the selections I've chosen, have donate buttons? Yeah, you can do it that way if you want to. It's no problem. If you just want to, you can send 50 and then we'll, and I know since you're asking this, but if anybody else, if you just wanted to do it that way instead, if you just wanted to click the donation button and, you know, send $50, then remember to put your address, if it's not already, you know, in there. Put the address in there and in the donate note section, and then we will send you the entire 10 book set. So that's another way to do it. So there's 5 minutes left on the live stream. So if you want to listen in overtime, you have to call in within the next 5 minutes. 657-383-0635. Now, actually, we may not go through. Let me just check. We may not have to go into overtime too much. I just want to check here to see if I missed anything in the chat room. And, of course, if anybody has any questions on the phone, just hit the number 1. Hold on 1 second. Just want to go through the chat room to make sure I didn't miss any comments. Okay, so question about what about this blackout on September 8th when we're not supposed to shop at certain stores. Is this a good thing? Well, one thing that we should always have is a black end, which we should always be searching for black stores to shop at, whether it's a black gas station, grocery store, you know, restaurant, whatever product or service that we need, we should always look to see if there's a way we can get it from our people first anyway. So that's how we operate, and you know, we should be operating like that. Doing a blackout, you know what I'm saying, it can hit certain businesses. It could make more sense if people had targeted one specific major business or corporation or something like that and did it for a number of months. So if a whole lot of people decided not to go to, you know, a specific store or something or a chain or something like that for months, because if everybody just said, you know, one day we're not going to buy anything, the whites in the offspring will just shake their head and 24 hours later they'll be right back in the store and they haven't lost anything. So that's not going to change. But as far as, you know what I'm saying, the black end is what's key. Any product or service that you need, first look to see if there's somebody in our community providing that product or service and see if, you know, if it's feasible to support that individual or individuals. That's the key. And also, the reason they start the blackout piece is because of the Mike Brown shooting and the other shootings as well. As we said earlier, the only thing that's going to stop police from killing, murdering black people is black people killing police. Until that happens consistently, nothing's going to change. So that's something that our people need to understand fully. And once we understand that, then we can stop all of those police murders overnight. We just have to understand who the enemy is and what we need to do. Okay, let's see. Let me see. I just want to go through the comments real quick. Okay, and for those who still want to listen in overtime, you got 90 seconds or less than 90 seconds to call in, 657-383-0635, because the live stream on the Internet will cut off, but you'll be able to listen on the phone, and if you had a question or comment, you can do that. So 657-383-0635, you have less than a minute to call in. All right, 60 seconds now. So, yes, so somebody said something, I never looked into a black gas station. I remember that because the place that I was living, area I was living in before in Chicago, there was a specific place. It was the only black gas station, black-owned gas station we knew about. So people who were paying attention, you know, that's where we would go. It was a little bit further away, but we'd go and fill up there whenever we got our gas. Keep those people in business. Because the people, the older people as well as the younger people who are working in that store, you're helping their children be clothed and fed. If they're going to a college or something like that, whatever it is, you're either helping to fund some white Arab children to go to college, or you're helping to fund the black family and their child to go to college or stay in business and not have to work for the whites and offspring. So every time you spend your money, you're either helping the enemy or you're helping our people. So black gas station or anything, every time you get up and reach in your pocket or pull out your debit card to spend anything, you think about, is there an Afurakani, Afurakani business that's providing this product or service that I can support. If there is, and if it's a legitimate business, then go ahead and do that. If not, then, of course, the secondary, you know, fallback is going to the non-Afro-Akani, non-Afro-Akani business. First, we should think about ourselves. Okay, so, and then the other question was, is the EGWA investment program still in effect? Yes, it actually is, and what we're going to do, we have to update the dates for that, and we're going to put some information out on the NING site for that. So basically what the individual was talking about is we had to have a EGWA investment program basically where people can invest into our work, basically making a donation, and then there's a percentage return on investment. So we just have to update some dates and decide when the next dates are going to be. But anybody can email us about that. So some people, they'll, like, for example, if they invested $100 and the return on investment is, you know, 20% return or whatever. So at the end of the couple of months, then they will receive their $100 back plus $20. So that's just a way for us to, it's almost like, you know, stock options. It's almost like, you know, investing in a company. I mean, it is investing in a company, but it's similar in the regard to dividends. Basically, you invest for a short period of time, and when you get your funds back, you just get the return on investment in addition to that. That's a way for us to receive some capital invested in the business, generate a larger quantity of books to distribute, and, of course, we want to get the books in stores and things like that, but before we get to that point, we have to generate a larger amount. And, of course, we do all the printing ourselves in color, which is the expensive piece, is the color piece with regard to printing. If it was black and white, it would be much, much cheaper. But those images our people need to see. This is the first time very often that many of our people are seeing this kind of information. And they need to see the images the way that our ancestresses and ancestors first drew them, because those colors have ritual significance, they have spiritual significance, they affect the spirit in a certain way. Different colors affect your body and spirit in different ways, and people need to see that, and they need to see those images the way our people produce them. So we have to do it in color, and that's why we're doing it. So it's more expensive, but we need to do that. So that's why we, you know, we have that investment piece, and basically people can make a donation. Let us know that, hold on one second, and you can email us for those details, but it's basically people making a donation on the website, letting us know in the donation note section that this is for the investment program, and then within a couple of months, we'll do the return on the investment, return the funds you invested plus the percentage return as well. So that's basically what it is. And you can email us via the website as well for details about that also. And you said, will it be scalable? Yes, it will. And also in regards to the legal side of our businesses, how do we set up our businesses? How do we set up our businesses? It seems like a conflict of interest. Now, what do you mean by the conflict of interest? Doing business in, you know, the United States is just like getting a driver's license or anything else. Because we're behind enemy lines, establishing a business, you have to go by the rules the way they're established here. You don't want to get into a situation where people are saying, well, oh, you can do it this way and you can avoid this kind of thing, and they come up with all kinds of schemes. Just like people come up with schemes about how you don't need to have a Social Security number or a driver's license or license plates and all that kind of nonsense, and people end up getting locked up behind that. So setting up a business is, you know, you can look on business websites about how to establish a, you know, business name, what kind of structure you're going to use. Is it going to be an LLC, a limited liability corporation? Is it going to be a 501c3, a nonprofit organization? Is it going to be a regular corporation? partnership, whatever it's going to be. There are basic things that you can, you know, you can study that. There are websites that go into detail about that, just basic information and how to set things up. You don't have to have a lawyer in order to do that. The fees are typically, you know, minimal when it's a small organization. So there are different websites that deal with that. And look specifically for the websites in your state. You can also go on a state website dealing with business or the municipality that you live in and see what the rules and regulations are, because there are certain different rules for different states with regard to corporations or sole proprietorships and things like that. Okay. Okay, so, all right, so I understand what you're saying. Yeah, so, it's similar to going through the legal process in order to, you know, legally operate a vehicle in a municipality. You have to get a driver's license. You have to go through that process, take the test, pay the fees and everything else so that you can legally drive, because if you didn't, you get arrested. So it's the same thing with, you know, business. If you are running a corporation, now there's certain things that you can do as independently if you don't have a large organization where you don't need to have a nonprofit. That's an option anyway, where you don't need to have a, you know, corporation, a sole proprietorship. You could just, if you have a service or you're like an artist or something like that, just through, you know, self-employment on your tax form, self-employment tax and so forth, you don't have to have an LLC and all of that. You can just do it through your tax form. But if you have a more complex organization or you're, depending on what your structure is, then you need to go through those processes that are legal. There's no, you know, some people try to influence people to say, well, you know, the white man has, you know, misled us and, you know, swindled us on every level. So we're going to get back at him by, you know, engaging in criminal ways to circumvent the law and do it this. And crackers are not concerned about that. If they see what you're doing, yes, they're criminals, and that's why they're criminals. But if they see you engaged in something criminal, I'm not saying that's what you're doing. I'm just saying in general, because we do have people out there teaching that to some of our people, then, you know, they're going to figure out a way to lock you up anyway. So you might as well just establish things the way that they are, just basic things like getting a driver's license or establishing an LLC or whatever through those channels, paying those taxes and doing whatever you have to do to establish the organizational structure, and then move forward that way. So that's not, you remove that as a reason, a manufactured reason for the White House to try to shut down your business or try to interfere. They're going to try to interfere. If it's something cultural or conscious, they're going to try to send people through little agents to try to suggest you do things illegal or try to get you involved in something nonsense. If you're promoting anything cultural that's actually in awakening our people, they're either going to come themselves or they're going to send their little agents to try to disrupt what you're doing in some fashion. If you engage in spiritual practice, then some awful are going to show you what they're doing before they do it, and you're already going to know ahead of time, so when the little people show up and try to direct you towards engaging in criminal activity or doing something ridiculous, then you already are prepared for that, and you will naturally avoid that anyway. So you don't want to give them any other opening to try to, you know, lock you up or cite you for engaging in criminality. Right, and you said, and stay away from that Moorish crap. Yes, that's nonsense. They got most of it from the Achiwati Four anyway, as far as the legal and sovereign info goes. Right, so they, all they're doing is repeating the nonsense of the sovereign citizens movement and patriot law and all of that foolishness, grafting it onto our community. Pure nonsense. And a lot of people don't know how many people are in jail because they were engaged in that Moorish nonsense. Every now and then they'll show people on television, but that's pales in comparison to the number of people who are actually locked up and doing time that never get any airtime on television because of they're following this silly Morris doctrine. And for people who want details on that, those who are ordering the books as well, you can see online when you go to the end of my page, we have the book More Means Dead, where we go into detail talking about where the term more comes from, where what it actually means. It actually means dead. And we show that linguistically and cosmologically and so forth. So, you know, people won't get caught up in that nonsense. Whether it's pseudo-cultural nonsense regarding false information they promote about the Moors being the original people and all, and we're more, none of that is accurate. So all of that's nonsense, so we go into detail about that. Okay, so you said like the sister who had herself and her children just living in a house with title deed or anything without, right. So all that kind of foolishness. And very, when the Europeans, the whites in Arab Spring, do put those individuals on television and, you know, expose them and make them look crazy as they are and everything, they're not putting them on television to, because they're just trying to show that they're, you know, prosecuting an individual and trying to hold their feet to the fire and lock them up for doing something wrong. That's not why they're doing it. They're doing it because they know that many of the fools will see that, and then they will begin to rally behind the sister or the brother who's being locked up. And they will say, well, if they're locking them up, then they must be on the right track. And the crackers are scared now, and they don't want anybody to get this information, because if we get this information, then we're all going to be free behind this Morris stuff. And that's why they're attacking the movement and trying to lock the people up and trying to shame them. So the fact that they're doing that just proves that we must be on the right track, or we wouldn't have their backs against the wall. So they're trying to discourage our people from the Moorish movement, so therefore you need to even be more emboldened to join in that. This is why the whites in the Arab Spring will expose somebody like that, because they know the effect will be that even more fools will join the movement because, you know, the white people, you know, quote-unquote, ganged up on this one person. That's the reason why they show it, because they know it will bring more people into the Moorish movement by looking like they're attacking the movement on, you know, national media. And many people, I'm sure you have heard people, some people who are listening, have heard people say that. As soon as they saw the people on TV, the first thing they told their followers is, see, the Moors are growing so fast that they can't stop it. They don't know what to do, so they're attacking us from every angle. We need to get stronger, and we're on the right track. And it's just a recruitment tool for the Moors. Of course, the Moors were established by the whites and their offspring. So that's the whites and their offspring movement. And Negroes who joined that typically don't understand that, so they don't realize that. And some Negroes want to be part of a white movement, so literally, as well as their pseudo cosmology and pseudo etymology, which they don't understand etymology at all. None of those Moors understand etymology. No matter how much they talk about the etymon and all of that, they have no knowledge of real etymology. That's why they produce such nonsense. But some of them want to be part of that whites and their offspring's movement. That's why they join, because they hate themselves and they want to be part of some nonsense. Other people are just brainwashed, and when they get those, you know, whites and their offspring engaged in these machinations to pretend like they're attacking, so it makes more brainwashed black people want to join. Anything the whites and their offspring attack, some of us will say, well, it must be something good about it. Let's join them. So they'll pretend like they're attacking Hebrews. They'll pretend like they're attacking the Nation of Islam. They'll pretend like they're attacking certain Christian ministers, because that makes brainwashed people want to say, well, in order to, you know, show my dissatisfaction with the white people attacking them, I'm going to join that movement just to thumb my nose at the crackers. And that brings them right into a movement that was actually established by crackers in the first place. So so that's what's happening. So, but getting back to the other piece, yeah, so for the people, again, if you want to order the 5 books, we'll send all 10 for the price of 5. That's going all the way through tonight. And as far as the Equa investment program, all that really is. And you can look on the Ning site. We had the first time we did it was in June. I think it was June. Yeah, I think it was like June 5th or something like that. And we did a broadcast. And you can actually go to our Ning site and give you the link. Apuraka-apuraikaet.ning.com. And for those who are not members of that site, you can join the site. And, of course, again, that's our own personal social network. There are hundreds of people on the site discussing ancestral religion and culture and everything that we talk about. There are discussion forums, blogs, videos, you know, people posting different things, people connecting with each other from around the world. Our people, of course, only who are exchanging information on the same, talking about the same, on the same wavelength. So when you go to that site and you go to the forum discussion section, one of them is said the Egua Investment Program, and you can find the audio link for that particular program where we did a blog talk show and we talked about it and went into detail about it. You can download that. It's exactly the same thing we did in June, and it's back on now, of course, so it's still open. Anybody can invest. It's the exact same information from that show. The only differences are the dates, because we were doing it back in June, so the dates for the return on investment was like a couple of months later. So, of course, now this is September, so the return on investment will probably place the return on investment, since we're in the first week of September, we'll probably place the return on investment in November. So if somebody, say, invested $100 today through the donation button, then you would receive your $100 plus the return on investment in 8 weeks, basically. So, and all that is just basically for us, a short-term investment we use to generate a larger quantity of books, and then we sell them, and then we can, you know, pay the investors back. So that's just a way for us to do that, and it's also a way for you to assist in getting this information out. Some people don't mind being distributors. So they'll buy a few books and then they can sell them to people and make the money back. Some people may not be around people like that, or they may not be necessarily interested in distributing, or they're just not in that company of people on a regular basis like that where it would make sense for them to distribute it on that level, but they still want to figure out a way to support the work that we're doing and also receive a return on investment for supporting what we're doing. So you can just go to the website, the Nhoma page, make a donation on the donation button, and in the notes section just say this is the investment. This is for the investment program, and then you will be on that list. So when you know, we'll send you the information about the return on investment and a specific date, and we'll be posting that in the Ning site as well. We'll probably be posting that tomorrow, as a matter of fact. But any level, even though we ask for a donation of $100 or more just to, you know, do whatever, but it doesn't have to be that. It's easier for us so we can order the ink and supplies and the paper and the covers and all that kind of stuff. But even if it was less than that, you know, we accept less than that as well. So you can just contact us if you have any questions about that. No problem. Just email us. The email is on the website. And just hit us up about that. All right, so we don't have any other questions on the phone lines. All right, so we're going to end it here. We will be back on Joa Da Monday at 9 p.m. for Akan Fold Nanasom, Ancient, Authentic Akan Ancestral Religion. Please share the information, share the webcast. You can share the link on Facebook as well as the other social networks. Get this information out. Also letting people know that we will be in Philadelphia next Saturday on the 13th, not this Saturday, next Saturday, next Memenida. And, again, we yet I say for those individuals who have invested, purchased the books and so forth, that's helping us get the word out and also helping us, you know, continue to do the work that we are doing. Yet I say for those who are interested in the investment program, hit us up on the apuraka-apuraikaet.ning.com site. That link also is also on the ojrfolk.com website. So if you go to that website, you'll see the link for that on the front page as well. So it can take you directly there. And again, Yedase, we thank you, and we will connect with you next Joada, next Monday. Yebeshia.